for the one you serve. You're going to get what you deserve. Bow down before the one you serve. You're going to get what you deserve. You want me to? Got money, nail me up against the wall. Got money, don't want everything. He wants it all. No, you can't take it. No, you can't take it. No, you can't take that away from me. No, you can't take it. No, you can't take it. No, you can't take that away from me. Among the pure, got money, let's go dancing on the backs of the blues. That got money's not one to choose. No, you can't take it. No, you can't take it. No, you can't take that away from me.
Greetings, everybody. This is Tabitha, back for another edition of White Wellness. Today is March 10th, 2021, broadcasting out of New York for the American National Radio Network. That song right there was Nine Inch Nails with Head Like a Hole way back in 1989. Kind of has some lyrics that make you contemplate what's going on currently in this world with the Great Bifurcation. I think calling it the Great Reset is, I don't know, kind of like NLP or something like that. And it really does feel more like a bifurcation than a reset. Maybe it's a reset for some people in some way, but I like to put my own language and my own spin on everything. So for today's show, today's broadcast is going to be about allopathy, a most pathetic religion. And yes, a topic I've talked about many times before on the broadcast, but decided to do a whole show about it, especially since we are living in, well, I guess, medicalized Judaism. That's like kind of like the talking yesterday on the show I did with Mike about how we have political Judaism with things like communism, and then we have Oyed AI essentially being the pinnacle, top-tier medical Judaism. So the topic today is going to be allopathy and what we're dealing with currently in the world, as well as the history of it. And I'm going to play a little video right now, a video that I believe I played a while back on another broadcast. But since we have new people coming over to the platform all the time, and it's always nice to hear something more than once, so I'm going to play this little video about the history of Rockefeller medicine, the origins of the medical industry corruption. It's about a 6-minute video. It's not the best sound quality because it's like old timey, but nevertheless, I think you'll get the gist, especially if this is something that you are new to, because this is something that most of us have pretty much been born into. Like a lot of us are born into our religion, and some of us come out of that, right? Or come back to it and then come out of it. But we're also born into another religion, the religion of Western medicine. And that's basically treating of symptoms. I'm not talking about setting a broken bone, things like that. I'm talking about dis-ease management and using the medical model as a piece of a fear propaganda, as a medical tyranny, essentially, to be able to set in stone things like that, utilizing this leg of the octopus, this head of the Oive Hydra, for what they, you know, how they do. And whenever you put fear into someone in regards to life or death, that is a real jolt. That's a real shock to the system. So here, without further ado, is the origins of the medical industry. Computer's taking just a moment to load. Here we are.
Patients had a choice of using either doctors called allopaths or natural healers called empirics or homeopaths. The two groups waged a bitter philosophical debate. The allopathic doctors called their approach heroic medicine. They believed the physician must aggressively drive disease from the body. They based their practice on what they considered scientific theory. The allopaths used three main techniques. They bled the body to drain out the bad humors. They gave huge doses of toxic minerals like mercury and lead to displace the original disease. They also used surgery, but it was a brutal procedure before anesthesia and infection control. Few patients were willing to have surgery. Most patients feared allopathic methods altogether. Satirist of the day remarked that with allopathic treatment, the patient died of the cure. Competing with the doctors were the empiric healers. Contrary to the doctors, they believed in stimulating the body's own defenses to heal itself. Instead of poisonous minerals, they used vegetable products and non-toxic substances in small quantities. They especially favored herbs learned from Native American and old European traditions. The empirics said they based their remedies not on theory, but on observation and experience. Satirist of the day added that with empiric treatment, the patient died of the disease, not the cure. In the 1800s, doctors tried to stop the popular empirics from collecting their fees by denouncing them as quacks. Economic competition from the empiric healers caused the doctors to found the American Medical Association. But the AMA was a small trade association without political clout, and the balance of medical power remained equal until the turn of the century. Then new medical treatments emerged that were potentially very profitable. Promoting these methods, the AMA joined with strong financial forces to transform medicine into an industry. The fortunes of Carnegie, Morgan, and Rockefeller financed surgery, radiation, and synthetic drugs. They were to become the economic foundations of the new medical economy. Ironically, John D. Rockefeller himself used only an empiric homeopath while investing in allopathic medicine. Surgery became viable with anesthesia and infection control, and doctors advocated expensive radical operations. These in turn produced the need for a large, lucrative hospital system. The allopaths also discovered a new toxic mineral, radium. Radium fever swept medicine. The price of radium rose 1,000% almost overnight. Another costly technological industry entered the hospital system. A drug industry grew out of the booming patent medicine business. Ironically, many of the new synthetic drugs came from plants and empiric remedies. Drug company ads boosted the revenues of the AMA Journal 500% in 10 years. The doctors changed educational standards and licensing regulations to exclude the empirics. Soon, only AMA-approved doctors could legally practice medicine. In a brief 20 years, the AMA came to dominate medical practice. Organized Medicine launched a media campaign to associate the empirics with quacks. The code word for competition was quackery. By the 1940s, its quack files had swelled to include 300,000 names. The Fitzgerald Report to Congress named at least a dozen other promising cancer treatments seemingly blocked by organized medicine. Their proponents were mostly doctors and scientists of high reputation. The treatments were immunological or nutritional. Dismissing them as quackery were panels of surgeons and radiation therapists. The Congressional Report emphasized two outstanding cases of alleged suppression, Harry Hoxie and Dr. Andrew C. Ivey. If Hoxie fit the image of a quack, Dr. Ivey certainly did not. The similarity of Dr. Ivey's charges to those of Hoxie was unmistakable. A failed attempt by an AMA official to buy his formulas, followed by blackballing and a refusal to test the therapy. The Fitzgerald Report to Congress described a menacing pattern.
Fitzgerald concluded in his report, quote, "Behind this is the weirdest conglomeration of corrupt motives, intrigue, selfishness, jealousy, obstruction, and conspiracy that I have ever seen."
Despite its shocking conclusions, the Fitzgerald Report slipped quietly into the appendix of the Congressional Record. With Dr. Ivey's death, crebiacin would vanish untested. At the height of the McCarthy era, a dozen other promising treatments would be banned without investigation.
And it goes on to say, this is a quote from a fellow named Samuel S. Epstein, MD. Sounds like it's Neuve. Anyway, I'll read it. "The National Cancer Institute, with enthusiastic support from the American Cancer Society, has effectively blocked funding for research and clinical trials on promising non-toxic alternative cancer drugs for decades." A quote from Linus Pauling, PhD, who won a Nobel Prize, did a lot of his research in regards to minerals. "Everyone should know that the, quote, war on cancer is largely a fraud, and that the National Cancer Institute and the American Cancer Society are derelict in their duties to the people who support them." Another quote from Dr. Dean Burke, PhD, regarding the American Cancer Society. This individual was employed by the National Cancer Institute for 34 years. "They lie like scoundrels." One more quote, Dr. Glenn Warner, MD. "We have a multi-billion dollar industry that is killing people right and left just for financial gain." Another one, Dr. George Lundberg, MD, editor of the Journal of the American Medical Association, also known as the AMA. "Chemotherapy is a marvelous opportunity for rampant deceit. So much money is to be made." And it looks like that is the end of the video right there. Origins of Medical Industry Corruption. Still on YouTube, by the way. Kind of surprised it's still up there, but it happens to be. So now you know the backstory of allopath versus empiric in regards to doctor. Of course, allopath, coming from the word allopathy, that is the, I guess, the scientific or the proper term for what we colloquially call Western medicine. The word allopathy means other suffering. Allo means other. Patho means passion, like pathos. So other suffering. So in allopathy, they make you suffer in a different way. They treat only your symptoms, and you go in there and some part of you hurts, so you take this pill, and then you get other stuff, other side effects, and other hurt from the pill. The fact that this has actually caught on and gotten as big as it's gotten just shows the terrible disconnect that we humans have from nature, from intuition, from our bodies. It's really, really mind-boggling. So that's where the word allopathy comes from. That's why I use that word when I refer to it, but most people refer to it as, quote, Western medicine. And of course, we have Eastern medicine. A lot of those, quote, Eastern medicines, I think, from the research I've done, are Aryan medicines. And the, quote, Western medicine has a triple parentheses around it, if you catch my drift. A lot of those things like TCM, traditional Chinese medicine, and Ayurveda. TCM, I haven't found any proof, but my inkling is that it is Aryan-based, given all the mummies that were found in China with like the Aryan craniofacial structure and the red hair. But Ayurveda, of course, because, you know, ancient India was Aryan, Ayurveda is ours. So very interesting how the Eastern medicine is really Aryan and then the Western medicine is really just Oy Vey. And notice how in that video, the Oy Vey is like Rockefeller, who basically gentrified the last name. What is it? Rocker? Forget what it was again. Something that sounded much more on the Oy Vey side. He saw an imperial doctor. He saw a holistic doctor. He didn't see an allopath. Allopathy is a business, a rather lucrative business as well. And the one thing I was thinking about when I was watching that video or listening to it with everybody else is that they took our old school holistic medicine, said it was quackery, made it look tomfoolish, and then they pushed their white coat bullshit. It's almost the same thing in a different light, what they did when they took us out of our racial spirituality and threw us into the miasma that Xdianity is, right? They take us from something that's real, that's tangible, that's Aryan, that's natural, and then they plop us into their Zog version of it and keep us trapped in it. Allopathy is no different than Xdianity. It just happens to be, I think, a bigger religion, and with this Oyede Eye thing, it's kind of, I think some people are just really walking and or running rather towards it even more so because they're in such miserable fear, or they're really questioning more of the allopathic system probably than they ever have before. I've had people say to me that they never really would have looked into all of this virology stuff, all this crazy crud that happens via allopathy with vaccination, unless something like Oyede Eye had happened. So that's a real silver lining when you think about it. Like, yeah, there are people who are running into their slavery, but there are also people who are rethinking what's going on, and that's pretty cool. So those are my thoughts on that video. Definitely something that you might want to share with others if you don't share this broadcast with them. Of course, both would be the excellent thing to do. I will just put this link in the chat in case anyone who's listening live would want to put this over, you know, and share other people. So there you go. All right. So just drop that link into the chat in case anyone would like to keep it for themselves. But yeah, definitely. I mean, if you can, share any of this stuff with people who are willing to listen. Sometimes it feels, you know, demoralizing, just, you know, telling people over and over what's going on and just getting nowhere. So I pretty much avoid those types at this point. But people who are on the fence, I'm always willing to, you know, still work with someone like that. So the whole thing of allopathy and the whole thing of Xdianity, of course, is based on slavery. Oyede Eye is a religion of slavery. We even have the feed bag, the chat feed bag, that goes right over the mouth. basically saying that you can't speak and you can't breathe and everyone looks the same. It's a real pogrom of equality. So I saw this meme this morning, and it was based on The Matrix, which, you know, is, most people listening to this know, was an Oy Vey Hollywood movie made by like two Oy Vey trannies. But anyway, the meme is good because it says, and it pertains to this, the topic of the broadcast today, there are four types of people you will meet in your life. The people who wake up the slaves, people like us, right? The slave masters, the people who have no idea they're slaves, and people who like being slaves. And I think we're seeing a lot of that nowadays. This is the great bifurcation. We're seeing what's happening. People just kind of choosing their destiny based on their manifestation. Pretty cosmic stuff. So I want to talk a little bit more about allopathy as a modern day cult. And yeah, it is. Pretty much any religion that's not racial is a cult. At least it is to me. It doesn't matter if it has millions of adherents. It's still a cult. So I found this very interesting article yesterday whilst I was doing broadcast for this show, planning a show of this nature for quite some time, albeit I've talked about these topics, allopathy as a whole and in general on a multitude of broadcasts. But today I'm devoting the entirety of it to this topic. So I found this article, and yeah, there's a bit of crud like weaved into it about saying that modern medicine is a satanic cult. Of course, that's not true. It's a Talmudic cult. All satanic means, or Satan means, adversary. So Satan is actually the adversary of the Talmudicists. So they show this picture of these nurses dancing, probably for like a shit talk video, I'm thinking. You know, remember at the beginning of Oid AI, we had all this MK Ultra allopathic mind control with the way people were dancing. And in general, that whole idea for schooling with allopathy, especially if you become a doctor, that's like MK Ultra. All the bright lights, all the weird hours that you have to work, depriving you of sleep and food, just basically being trained to be a psychopath with some of the stuff like, you know, you're going to do in that profession. Awful. So here is a little bit about modern medicine as a Talmudic cult. And I love the way they break this down. I thought it was such a worthwhile thing to share on the show. And they break it down while they break down the hollow hoax of germ theory, because of course the House of Allopathy is built on germ theory. The idea that there's a war on microbes is basically how allopathy like sustains itself. That's fear, just like any other religion, right? Especially if it's, well, I guess not racial. I mean, any belief that's really racial, I wouldn't even call a religion, because I think the word religion, religare, means to like reel in. So essentially, a religion is like the antithesis of a spirituality. It's something that they have to reel you into, as opposed to when you're living in harmony, you have this natural racial spirituality. So here is this very interesting article about medicine as a cult. How could a large segment of the medical profession collude with the Illuminati bankers? Okay, I think we know what that means. Collude with, let's say, Zog, right? In bringing society to its knees, modern medicine is a branch of Zog, a Talmudic cult which controls and exploits society by making people ill. And yes, that is true. And I was also thinking with that video that I just showed before, they said in that video, the patient dies from the cure. And think about what's happening now with the Oid AI vaccination. The people are dying with the quote cure, right? And then of course, what's allopathy gonna do? They're going to blame it on microbes, right? The invisible microbes, you know, the Oy Vey insurance, like we talked about yesterday on the show, the coffee show. This is basically just in like mental insurance that keeps you in this fight or flight stead, so you'll never be able to see past it. It's a Jewish magic trick, essentially. So here is this article, Modern Medicine as a Talmudic Cult. Although a small minority of us don't think of them and their vocation in this way, medical doctors and the profession of medicine are perceived by the vast majority of people as priests working in a church. The entire structure of the medical profession has been intentionally designed to mirror a religious experience. When you walk into a house of worship, you enter a domain that is considered sacred by the members of the congregation. Inside a church, temple, or synagogue, or any other religious chamber, funny use of the word chamber right there, there are specific rules that are generally understood and followed by its members. Out of respect for the belief system, any types of criticism, skepticism, or questions concerning the veracity of the organization's major premise are off limits. In other words, members of religious congregations can never publicly question the church about anything. In medicine, the doctor, they're saying the priest, the minister, or the rabbi, customarily wears a white gown or a robe that also identifies him in his high as the high priest of the congregation, the practice. Within that practice, there are nurses, nuns, that assist the doctor in taking care of patients, members of the congregation. When they become ill, possessed by evil microbes, patients do not usually question a doctor's, minister's, advice. And here on the sidebar is a quote from Dr. Robert Mendelsohn, and I'm going to mention him a little bit after I orate this article. He is not an Oy Vey, just so you know, with that last name. And he was a doctor who was very critical of the allopathic system, and I'm just going to read a little sidebar that I'm going to interject into this article right here. There is no convincing scientific evidence that mass inoculations, that's another word for vaccinations, can be credited with eliminating any childhood dis-ease. I urge you to reject all inoculations for your child. And that was a quote he made from a book called How to Raise a Healthy Child, .. in spite of your doctor. So back to the text. There are a variety of techniques, rituals, the profession of medicine uses to rid the body of dis-ease, evil spirits. Some of these techniques including introducing synthetic drugs, holy water, in patients, mass-produced by petrochemical companies. In other situations, doctors cut out diseases in the body by performing surgeries, exorcisms, in an effort to remove infected tissues and organs, possessed body parts. Question the intentions or integrity of the medical man and his large support group of medical personnel, and you will be locked up upon the citizen, be looked upon by the citizens of most communities as a nut job, the devil. Question the medical protocols, biblical passages, that have been written by the petrochemical corporations and firmly established within the base curricula of every medical program in the world, and you will be labeled as a charlatan, a quack, or a pseudoscientist. So here they are using the same system shitstem they use to pull us away from our racial spirituality to trap us in this insane reality where we, or lack of reality, where we believe that poisons will make our bodies healthier. So anyone who actually gets a vaccination at one point in their life, or they currently do, they believed that poisons would make them healthier. I mean, it's amazing that Zog has convinced people that poisons will make them healthier. The petrochemical companies secretly overseeing prestigious medical journals, the publishers of supposed peer review research, make certain doctors opposing the allopathic paradigm, that drugs are the only way to achieve and maintain health, are always viewed by the vast majority of people as being unscientific. And even now with the functional medicine, which is, I think, kind of allopathy light, where they want to suggest that you buy like a heap of supplements either from them or from their recommendations. I mean, how different is that than allopathy? It's still the idea that you're using a substance as the main way to achieve and maintain health. And that still is thinking in an allopathic way. Not to say that we can't take certain things here and there supplement-wise and they will help us, but to think that a certain pill or herb or whatever is going to be the only way that you're going to be fixed and not do anything else, that's pretty allopathic. In the Catholic Church, they teach parishioners that a young soul entering the world is compromised by original sin, a weakened immune system. See how this all lies together, lines together too. It predisposes that the vessel or the body to a life of demonic possession, sickness. The baptismal holy waters of the church, the vaccination programs, are the only sure way to wash away the sins, childhood diseases, and set the soul right, create immunity against germs, so it can enjoy an existence on Earth that is free from Satan's temptations, bacteria and viral microbes, right? See how this is all lining up? See how they makes them so happy? It's so important to get these vaccinations in early, to get the religion in early, because they want to make you into a slave. I understand there will be plenty of people incensed over what I have just written in this article. A person that writes content questioning a particular religion's philosophy or integrity will not win any popularity contests. And make no mistake, the medical profession is a powerful religion with many followers. That in itself is a sad fact, but also the major reason why so many people are walking around sick and don't even understand why. And here is another quote from Dr. Robert Mendelsohn. The pediatrician serves as the recruiter for the medical profession. He or she indoctrinates your child from birth into a lifelong dependency on medical intervention. The first stage of indoctrination is the, quote, well baby visit. The well baby visit is a cherished ritual of the pediatrician that enhances their income and does nothing constructive for your child. It's a worthless visit. And yeah, they get everybody young. And you know, the more you frequent, the more problems you're going to have. It's like if you bring your car to the mechanic all the time, you're going to have all these problems. This is how it works. It works based on fear, no different than any religion works based on fear. It works on fear and the belief in something that has never been proven, that we can't even believe exists. Same thing. I mean, the virus is almost like this god, you know, it's like this deity that we can't see. And we all think it's out to get us. Like a lot of people's lives, I think, revolve around like dodging the virus. Like that's literally like their life these days. I mean, wow. Imagine that was your quality of life. It's kind of hard to imagine. Back to the article. The faith and trust we have collectively invested as a society in medicine is based upon blind faith, just like religion, and not the profession's ability to get sick people well. There are some pretty screwed up concepts that medical dogma is based upon, and when one takes a close look at the ideas, their flaws become very apparent. It is because of this fact that the profession has been cleverly structured and marketed by its engineers to appear as a religion. I mean, just think about the doctor in the white coat and how there've been studies done that people think someone in a white coat appears to like know something, like they're just like they're an authority, you can trust them, right? I mean, and you could have the janitor wearing a white coat, but well, he's got a white coat on, we can trust him. So crazy. Okay, back to the article. Let's see. All right, so as a religion, medicine remains off limits from would-be critics and avoids important questions. These questions have needed to be answered for years, and yet they continue to be ignored by medicine's leaders. Instead, we continue to hear and read about walkathons and parades and fundraisers that supposedly benefit research for future eradication of diseases, and the medical profession and the petrochemical corporations have no intention of ever eliminating. And of course, I'll go one step further and say, not only do they have no intention to ever eliminate these diseases that they make these walkathons, parades, and fundraisers for, they have also created the dis-ease in the first place by naming these symptoms this dis-ease. And the dis-ease is basically a side effect of living in this dis-ease society with the diet that they recommend, with all the zog-fog, all the crud. So they've basically incurred the dis-ease. It's not a coincidence that so many hospitals in the United States and around the world have been named to religious organizations and saints. Let's face facts, there aren't any medical facilities named the Charles Manson Center for Burn Victims, okay? Medical institutions have been designed and branded in such a way that they are presently perceived by the masses as places of worship. Even the doctor's classic white lab coat has been designed to instill in the psyche of healthcare consumers a sense of purity when they think of physicians. And yeah, that's all by design. I mean, they use color by design. I mean, that's just what they do. They were doing it with all the purple stuff, you know, earlier this year, I think with the inauguration type of stuff. So yeah, I mean, they use all this type of stuff. They know that the color white is angelic and pure and has a feeling of innocence too, as people will trust. And imagine if doctors wore black lab coats, how different that would be, like how different you would feel. Think about it. It's worth pondering. Getting people to believe in the value of medicine has been the long-term goal of pharmaceutical companies. And of course, they want you to believe in it. It behooves them. Their relentless commitment to this self-serving campaign has turned the public sector into a massive congregation of cheerleaders that ritualistically praise the medical industry. Communities throughout America and around the world regularly donate large amounts of money attempting to build and maintain hospital centers. These organizations are now the center points of all modern communities. Don't get me wrong, there are plenty of good medical doctors and surgeons in the world, and some medical practice objectives can be helpful in saving lives. But most of the successes that have been attributed to modern medicine usually come in the form of emergency-based care and not from the area of managing disease and restoring health to the human body. And that's really what they've turned this whole cartel essentially into, is basically just dis-ease management and a lot of fear. And notice how a lot of these virus crisis like PSYOP things, they keep on seeming to happen closer together. Like if you think back to like 100 years ago when they had the Spanish flu, you know, that thing, which of course was caused by the vaccination, and some people say the bacteria in the masks, but yeah, it wasn't caused by, quote, a virus. And then we had, so many since then. We had, avian swine and mad cow and Ebola, the whole AIDS hoax. How can we forget that? But it seems like ever since, I guess you'd say like the mid 70s with like the first swine flu hoax, on to like the other one that happened like what, like 15 years ago, and oh, the whole anthrax hoax after 9/11. I mean, the last, I would say like 40, 45 years, we've had tons of these fake, phony, like germ medical virus hoaxes, and they keep on seeming to get closer together just to kind of all accumulate like one big snowball rolling into Oid AI. So this is why we are where we're at right now. Well, we're here for many reasons, but we've been programmed through all of these, you know, quote, emergencies, all of these like, quote, pandemics. Although this one, they really, really hyped up a lot. But since I had all those prior ones to work off of, not to mention all the predictive programming and all of the movies, right? It was the perfect combination, already getting people kind of inculcated in that tethered, I guess like technology type of life, it was rather, you know, easy to kind of launch it. Are they going to be able to pull it off? People kind of thinking like this just looks so weak. This narrative looks so weak. Like I'm still in a sense of disbelief that people actually believe any part of it whatsoever. Like I even think it's insane that people believe like there's actually something going around, regardless of whether like it being a nefarious agenda or rather agenda. I can't believe that anyone would believe any minute bit of the entire aspect of this thing. It's hard to believe. If we ever hope to improve the health of human beings and raise the overall quality of healthcare that's practiced here in America and other locations throughout the world, we need to break the stranglehold the petrochemical corporations have on the medical profession. These giant companies have hijacked medicine and made it sick. We need to turn our attention away from figuring out how to pay for medical care and start concentrating on ways to fix the profession so that it stops making people sicker than they already are. Absolutely. And think about one of the worst case scenarios you could think of. Someone who gets injured, gets harmed, what they call iatrogenic harm, doctor-induced harm from the medical shitstem system, the allopathic system. And then they have to pay all these bills, which they can't afford. I mean, think of the fuck that is. Yowza. So it says, in the future, we must evaluate medicine as a professional and not blindly praise its false accomplishments that have ultimately been fabricated by the drug companies and later promoted in peer-reviewed journals that are owned and operated by the same companies. Okay. It's time for the members of the congregation, the general public, to get off their knees and begin holding traditional medicine, the church, accountable for its actions. And to even call it traditional medicine, I don't really think that that's fair. It's not traditional medicine. It's conventional medicine. It's allopathic. It's not traditional. Traditional medicine is seeing the whole body as a whole and, you know, wondering different parts of every, you know, what's the person's emotions, what's their diet, what's their past like, what's their present like. That's traditional medicine. Allopathy is conventional medicine. So here's one more quote from the same doctor, Dr. Robert Mendelsohn. It says, "The Church of Allopathy. I no longer believe in modern medicine. I believe that despite all the super technology and elite bedside manner, the greatest danger to your health is the doctor who practices modern medicine. I believe that modern medicine's treatments for dis-ease are seldom effective, and they're often more dangerous than the dis-ease they're designed to treat. I believe more than 90% of modern medicine could disappear from the face of the earth. Doctors, hospitals, drugs, and equipment, and the effect on our health would be immediate and beneficial. Modern medicine can't survive without our faith because modern medicine is neither an art nor a science. It's a religion." Very, very well said. I couldn't agree more. And it's just so mind-boggling when people who were completely caught up in Ouida AI, who basically need it to live, it's their air, it's their prana, they always say things like, "I believe in the science," or "I believe in science." And that just shows you that if you actually believed in science, you wouldn't have to say you believed in science. But since they don't, they have to say it. And it's pretty obvious. That's what a religious devotee or a slave would say. They'd have to, you know, make their beliefs known because it's obvious that, well, they're a slave. So yeah, very good article right there. I really liked how they were able to tie it all together with this whole microbes crud, this whole insane thing that Zog promotes. This is how they hold us hostage. I know the Xtianity thing is a big thing and still a lot of our people are stuck in that, but I think this allopathy thing could possibly go even further because there are plenty of people who are not stuck in the J box of Xtianity, and they are stuck in the J box of allopathy. So that's why I think this is a really important topic, especially given, well, you know, this year, last year, Ouida AI and all that crud. So yeah. All right. So let's go on to the next article that I have here. Oh yeah. Just a little bit about this guy, Dr. Mendelsohn, the guy I was just reading those amazing quotes for. So he was an American pediatrician. He lived from 26 to 88, so I think that's silent generation. He was an anti-vaccinist, like they called them back in the day, as opposed to an anti-vaxxer. He was an anti-vaccinationist. Okay, I actually kind of like the old school sound. It's like racialist, right? Anti-vaccinationist and critic of medical paternalism. And medical paternalism is a set of attitudes and practices in medicine in which a physician determines that a patient's wishes or choices should not be honored. These practices were current through the early to mid-20th century. He denounced unnecessary and radical surgical procedures and dangerous medications, reminding his readers of public health failures such as the 1976 swine flu outbreak and the damage caused to the daughters of women who took the drug diethylstilbestrol during pregnancy, which basically, I don't know what happened with that. I'm sure it was pretty awful. He portrayed doctors as powerful priests of a primitive religion with dishonesty as its central ethic. His mild-mannered appeal to the public while his message infuriated his medical colleagues. Mendelsohn wrote a syndicated newspaper column called The People's Doctor and also produced a newsletter with the same name. The newsletter continued after his death until 1992. He died in 1988, by the way, but it continued under the name The Doctor's People, as opposed to The People's Doctor. He published 5 books, including Confessions of a Medical Heretic, Mal-e-Practice, like male with E in parentheses, male practice, How Doctors Manipulate Women, and How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor. That was the 4th one. And he appeared on over 500 television and radio talk shows. So pretty cool. Sounds like a pretty interesting guy. I wonder how he died. He died in his home. How old was he? He actually wasn't even that old when he died. He was only 62 when he died. Maybe he got like Oive lasered away. Who knows, right? But yeah, he was probably one of the first people who was a critic of the vaccination, and also a critic of this medical paternalism, which he said that women's health was often the greatest danger to American women's health was often their own doctors, and contended that chauvinistic physicians subjected to female patients to degrading, unnecessary, and often dangerous medical procedures, cancer treatments like a hysterectomy and a radical mastectomy, according to Mendelsohn, were among the most indiscriminately recommended surgical procedures. And absolutely, for those who don't know what those procedures are, a hysterectomy is when Zog takes out your entire uterus, as well as your fallopian tube, so all your reproductive organs essentially go, I think including the cervix, so all you have left is a vagina. The cervix is the part of the uterus that hangs down in the vagina. And then a mastectomy is the removal of breasts, which of course now, as horrifying as it is, this is also allopathy right here with the whole transsexual thing. These young girls who are confused for many reasons, who knows 100% what's going on, they want a mastectomy because they think they're a boy. So, I mean, the idea of cutting off someone's body is just, it's so freaky that people actually like do this type of stuff. But the fear, I mean, man, the fear goes, it goes so, so, so deep. I mean, just look around. I mean, you see someone, it's a beautiful day outside and you see people walking around in the costume. Like yesterday I was out and about and I happened to this like coffee shop that I haven't been into, I think since Oyed AI, and I was like, you know, I think I'm going to go in there. And now no one can even sit inside this coffee place. So they've made use of all the sitting area, and now they have little gifty type of stuff in there, like toys and gifts and I don't know, just like whatever, like little type of stuff you really don't need, but you think it's cute, so you buy it anyway. So that's that. So I went in there and I got my drink and I left, just got a shot of espresso. That's it. But there are people outside sitting on the outside tables there. And one of the guy was like wearing his mask. And I'm thinking like he was there sitting next to some woman who wasn't wearing hers. And then he was wearing his, but like you're drinking coffee and it was like a great day yesterday, like beautiful weather. And you're sitting there in your costume. I mean, this is fear. This is all fear. I mean, when you look at someone like that, like if I was a psychopath, like I would know everyone's tell just based on like what they're doing right now, you know, just, and you could read someone's fear so well. And since Zog and the Oives are psychopaths, they're probably getting like a big jolt knowing whose fear is whose, right? Just like seeing and observing like the actual fear that people have. It's really quite wild. But yeah, Zog has a tendency to do that more with women, I think, than men, because Zog views like all things that happen in the female body, like menstruation and pregnancy and childbirth. Zog views all of these things as like a disease, right? I mean, look at how Zog or look at how Talmudicists think about women. I mean, it makes total sense, right? In his book, Confessions of a Medical Heretic, Mendelsohn argued that the methods of modern medicine were often more dangerous than the diseases they were designed to diagnose and treat. He advised consumers to be suspicious of their doctors. One of the unwritten rules in modern medicine is to always write a prescription for a new drug quickly, before all its side effects have come to the surface. That was a quote from that book on page 32. Mendelsohn opposed vaccinations for children, claiming the shots are dangerous and worthless. Well, he was absolutely right. And I think they have referred to him as a quack. We cannot be surprised there. He was negatively reviewed. His book, Confessions of a Medical Heretic, was negatively reviewed in the Journal of the American Medical Association. The reviewer noted that, quote, the technique of describing one specific situation or case history and then generalizing to all situations or all case histories is a dangerous one, and such exploitations are carefully avoided by all responsible scientists. However, this approach of Mendelsohn's supplies for the grist for his mill, and it's faulty. So of course they always want to make people seem like they're crazy. That's what Zog does when you stand up against them. This is what they always do. They'll, if you don't go along with their rhetoric, their crud, they toss you out of their, you know, their groups, their clubs, and then they call you a quack or whatever else is appropriate given the milieu. Quackwatch has noted that Mendelsohn engaged in irresponsible criticism, of the medical profession and science-based healthcare during most of his medical career. That means he was just speaking the truth, essentially, and they didn't want that because this is their biggest thing. I mean, the religion thing is another one of their biggest things, too, because they don't get you with the Christianity or the Pislam or that. They'll get you with the Jew age or Judaism or Hinduism or they'll get you with one of those fake, like pagan paths or something. They'll get you with something, but I mean, I still think the medical one is a bigger, snare. And I think people who are religious, even if they don't think they're religious, are way more likely to fall for the medical snare. That's my opinion from what I've seen. And I also think people who aren't really, racially spiritual. I mean, you can be racial, but there's a difference between being racially spiritual. And I think people who are really just veer more towards the racial, but kind of like the kosher version of being racial, if that's possible. I think by what I would mean, like the kosher version of being racial is like still being X-tarded, still being allopathically tarded, but like you kind of think you're racial. Like that's just like, it's not really what it's about. It's really about having that deep spirituality where you turn on your natural power. That's what it's all about. It's not about some wishy-washy, like kosher version of being racial. Nutritionist Kurt Butler described Mendelsohn as a whiny-voiced crackpot who made himself rich and famous by leading the bash doctors movement now in vogue. Mendelsohn, now deceased, made a career of telling Americans that their doctors are out to rob and kill them. He urged everyone to avoid doctors and instead go to chiropractors, naturopaths, and the health fraud store clerks for their health claw. Health fraud store, health, I don't know, maybe that was a typo, health store clerks for their health care. Or yourself. That's another option too. But of course, this is Wikipedia. You have to expect that they're going to, drag this guy's name through the mud. Obviously, this is what Zog does. So yeah, a little bit right there about one person who was against Zog. I mean, there's a lot of doctors out there, some deceased, some still living, that are against Zog. Some of them actually did go through the MD thing. They realized by going through that it was what it was. Some of them avoided that altogether, and then they just kind of knew for a while and did other stuff, like they were, you know, NDs or something like that. Or so people, a lot of people do know who are in the health field. Not all, of course, and not all are going to speak out, because I still think this is one of Zog's biggest cash cows, and it also keeps people like weak, like it can like push you down, like under their thumb, so to speak, right? It's pretty vile. That's what it is. Something else, another doctor that I wanted to mention, something that I had found whilst I was perusing Talmudgram. Let's see. Oh, yes. Okay. So here we are. So this is from a fellow who... He was a M16 intelligence agent. He wrote a couple of books. This dude's name is Dr. John Coleman. And I found this passage in this book, and it kind of pertains to what we have now going on in the world, and talking about just like kind of like the future in regards with like the Kalergi plan and like all this type of, you know, Barbara Lerner Spector, like all this type of crud in regards to how is this JWO plan going to go about. And here's this little bit right here from this fellow's book, Dr. John Coleman, who is this this M16 former intelligence agent who I've never really heard about before this. He's written some books that are on Amazon Primate, it looks like, The Conspirator's Hierarchy, The Committee of the 300, something like that. Okay. Let's see. So I have a little thing right here about Dr. John Coleman. So he wrote this book called The Conspirator's Hierarchy, The Committee of 300. It's got pictures of JFK on the cover of the book and other famous faces. So I guess it looks a little bit like some of the information is somewhat kosher with some of the language, like New World Order, etc. But whatever, you can find tidbits wherever you need to look. So here is this quote right here, and it got me thinking of Oyed AI. Euthanasia for the terminally ill and the aged shall be compulsory. It makes me think of Soylent Green. No cities shall be larger than the predetermined number as described in the work of Calergy. Essential workers will be moved to other cities if the one they are in becomes overpopulated. And I don't know what book of this from his. This is just a small little passage right here. Other non-essential workers will be chosen at random and sent to underpopulated cities to fill, quote, quotas. At least 4 billion, quote, useless eaters shall be eliminated by the year 2050 by means of limited wars, organized epidemics of fatal, rapid-acting diseases, and starvation. Energy, food, and water shall be kept at subsistence levels for the non-elite, starting with the white populations of Western Europe and North America, and then spreading to the other races. The population of Canada, Western Europe, and the United States will be decimated more rapidly than on other continents until the world's population reaches a manageable level of 1 billion. So there we go, a little bit there. And this passage had the thing about rapid-acting disease was highlighted, but a rapid-acting disease, see, sometimes people think of disease, I think, in a way that's not really, I guess, really the right way to think about it. The dis-ease can basically be engineered and basically be induced, rather, by how they make people feel, right? So there is no, like, virus wafting through the air. Could they be tossing extra toxins into the atmosphere? I think so. I think that's rather plausible. So they'll induce a rapid-acting dis-ease, but it won't, of course, be a virus, right? But this is the, you know, useless eaters. This is how they think of everybody. Remember, the word vaccination comes from the Latin word vacca, which means cow, goyim or goyim, as some people refer to it. I mean, that's all you need to know. It's a shame that more people don't look into word etymology before they speak. The one that always drives me wild is the you know, the eugenic one, people talking about Bill Gates or somebody like that being a eugenicist. I mean, it's crazy. It's hard to believe that people actually believe the words that come out of their own mouth. It's wild. Let's see what other people are saying. Yeah, it's definitely sad, Jason, what you're saying. Yeah, it's very sad. Yeah. Just look at the guy who discovered DNA and talked about African behavior. Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, that guy, I think he had his, did he have his Nobel Prize taken away from him or something like that? But he was made to look like they really dragged that dude through the mud, like totally. I think he was having financial issues after that or, yeah, something, it's just awful. I mean, an older man too. It's really just, yeah, disgusting. But of course, they have to make it look, when you talk about something that's actually real, that, you know, maybe uncomfortable for some people. You know, talking about racial differences makes some people feel uncomfortable based on what they thought was true growing up. So something like that, they can say, oh, he was mean. He has to have his award taken away. You know, I mean, that's why you're taking it away, because it was mean? Like, that's a judgment call. I mean, everything now is just, people's nervous systems are so shot. They're so, like, just spazzed out, and they're just completely just stuck on response, you know, like responding to things that, I mean, you can really just make someone, you know, whine and moan about, you know, how it makes, you know, it hurt my feelings. Like, that's a reason why something has to go in a different direction. It's so crazy. Like, we're living in, like people say, like kind of like a post-truth type of era. It really does feel like a post-truth type of era. Definitely. Yeah, it's a freak show in a lot of ways. It doesn't have to be in your own life, though. That's the silver lining. At least it is for me, for my life. It doesn't have to be like that for your own life. You may see it around, but it doesn't have to be your life. So that's one of the things that kind of gets me by. You know, although you do walk around and you see the zoggery, and, you know, the zoggery is there, especially now with Oyed AI. Like, sometimes you could be out and about and things maybe appeared like more normal, but now that everyone's got this like slave costume on and some people are tarted enough to just walk around on like an amazing day with the costume on, I mean, it's a constant reminder that things are the way they are. And it's not just a constant reminder of the way things are, or at least the way things appear to be. It's also a constant reminder that some people are like clamoring for, like some people are just like, you know, they're so happy to give away their freedom. Not only are they so happy to give away their freedom, they're so happy to call out people who don't want to. And they're so happy to basically line up and die, even though they're afraid of death. It's the ultimate fuck you. It's like they're so afraid of death, they can't even live, but they're willing to do something that's going to kill them. It's like they're that afraid of death. It's wild. It's really, it's crazy to just watch it and just be a spectator, you know? Thomas Oakes is saying, growing up, it's funny how these people were made out we weren't normal, having to conform, etc., when really the opposite was true all along. Yeah, it's true. They always made it seem like these people were, you know, the normal ones. They were the ones that were, you know, doing the right thing. We were the ones that were like the dregs of society, living on the outskirts of society, etc. And that's not true. That's not true. That's just something that's been out there. That's unfortunate. That's not true. And oftentimes the truth can be out there, but if the lie is out there too, then what good does it do? It's like the Hala hoax, right? It's like some people still actually believe. I know it's hard to believe, but they still think that the Hala hoax actually happened, you know? Or they'll say like, oh, I still can't get past like seeing some of those pictures or something. Or, you know, when I see the swastika, it makes me recoil. And I'm just thinking like, you know, lose all of that, you know, just, those are all just beliefs, like lose that. Jason Yeager is saying, when it does break down to the last material of this evil society, people will not be able to handle the true history or true world. Yeah, some people just, maybe they'll just vaporize when the truth like comes their way. I mean, who knows? It might be just a wild situation like that. So far I shared those two doctors, Dr. Coleman and Dr. Mendelsohn, and what they had to pretty much say about all of this Oy Vey stuff. Oftentimes people are focused more like on the other heads of the Hydra or other tentacles of the Oy Vey system, shitstem, Bolshevik beast. But when you look at this one, you know, when you look at allopathy, which is essentially poison as medicine, I mean, the answer is right there for you. It's right in front of your face. It's pretty amazing. It's almost like you don't have to look any further and it's right there. So I saw something the other day. This is from the WHO or the Jew, whack Hebrew oligarchs. They are now going to classify people who have no sexual partner as disabled. So if you are an incel or you just don't have a partner because of void AI or whatever else, that's now considered to be a disability. And I'm thinking that this almost sounds like it's like satire, but this could be a way to kind of preface people getting disabled from the vaccination, and this could also be a way to kind of weave everything into the UBI. According to reports, in the new guidelines, the WHO, whack Hebrew oligarchs, is all set to classify a person who is unable to find a suitable sexual partner or achieve a pregnancy after 12 months or more of regular unprotected sex as disabled. There we go. People who don't have sex or struggle to find a sexual partner or have children will now be considered disabled. This shocking new development comes after guidelines by the WHO, whack Hebrew oligarchs, which are set to be announced soon. Until now, not having an active sex life or infertility was never considered a disability, but with this new move, all is set to be changed. According to reports in the new guidelines, the whack Hebrew oligarchs is set to classify a person who was unable to find a suitable sexual partner or achieve a pregnancy after 12 months or more of regular sex disabled. The new rule will cover hetero couples as well as homo couples and will be given the same priority like a couple seeking IVF because of fertility issue. After a new guideline came into the limelight, critics and netizens equally criticized the move made by the WHO. Reportedly, many called the guidelines absurd and even nonsense for putting IVF and infertility in a box where they don't belong. Some even said that it goes against the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence. Well, mind-boggling people would have their underwear in a bunch over this, but not about a man in a dress reading a story to a bunch of kids in a library. Apparently that's all good, right? I mean, people's priorities are really, they're in the wrong place. But if this is satire or not, who knows? I kind of get the feeling what I said a little bit ago was pretty much where this is going. People are going to become disabled, not just from the OIDA vaccination, but just from the pandemic lifestyle. And, they have this in this WHO thing right here, and they also have the UBI. So yeah, they're going to pay people to basically just be disabled and just, you know, hang out at home, essentially. Doing probably nothing, just kind of like an idiocracy type of lifestyle where the chair is right next to the Talmud vision with all the channels. It's also a toilet. There's also a straw in there for beverage drinking. Pretty gross to think that these types of people could exist in this type of world. Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't put any stock in this, Jason, this thing. I wouldn't. It's crazy. I mean, look, they took transsexuality and homosexuality out of the DSM as mental illnesses. And now they're adding that someone who, you know, doesn't have a steady sexual partner, that person is disabled. Like, I mean, but it's not, you're not disabled if you're a tranny or a homo. I mean, yeah, it's just, I wouldn't. Anything they say, it's not even worth considering for seriousness. It's just, I guess I was reporting on it just based on the zogglery, you know, the zoggling aspect of it. So that's that. So yeah, there's a lot to this allopathic thing. I'm trying to really, I guess, illustrate the point in this broadcast that it is a religion. There's no doubt about that. It is, I think, a harder one, like I've said, to get out of than Xdenity or other things like that. And we're really experiencing right now in history with OIDA AI this kind of like medical religious moment, if you will. And do you remember back to April or so of last year when we're in the thick of OIDA AI? That statue of JC in Rio, in Brazil, of Christ the Redeemer, you know, it looking like a T with like his arms out and his body straight. It's kind of like a stylized statue. It's white. They had lit it up to make it look like he was wearing the white coat of an allopath. So this is all about the new religion because, you know, Xdenity is on the downswing. Pislam is gaining some steam, but still, I mean, most people aren't going to fall for the Pislamic thing, and not everyone falls for the Jew Age thing, and not everyone falls for their religion of other stuff, like some of these diets or some of these politics out there, or some of these sexual lifestyles. So they got to pogrom people with allopathy, which they can even have an overlap. People who fall for those things are actually more likely to fall for allopathy too. So that's how it works. I did a show, that show I'm talking about with the whole Rio thing with the Christ the Redeemer, using a photo of that actually when they did light up that statue to have the allopathic coat on. I called it then and there and said this is the forming of a new religion. Never for a second did I think that any aspect of this crap was actually legit. Like I know some other networks were actually, you know, talking about the costume, you know, the chat feed bag and all this. No. No, not here at this network. Nobody did because we knew it was a hollow hoax from the very get-go. And now it's painfully apparent. It's been, what, 12 months plus? We know what's going on. I mean, but this comes back to all this allopathy stuff, all this stuff they've been doing for probably the last 100 plus years. That's why we're at where we're at right now, or at least one of the reasons we're at where we're at. Because of all the accumulation of all of these things for all this time, for all this long time coming up to this moment now where we have this insane situation where people who have never given a shit about their health, probably like ever, all of a sudden are like, you know, like, I don't know, armchair like health enthusiasts, like literal armchair health enthusiasts because they're probably just sitting in a chair all day. Yeah, how did we get here? I mean, it's crazy. You ever think like what your grandparents or your great grandparents or your ancestors would think if they were alive now? Or it's hard to, even people who have only been dead for like 10 years, if they came back or something and you said, hey, like, you know, by the way, since you've been gone, this is what's happened in the world. I know it's super crazy. Like, they'd be like, wow, I missed a lot, because things have really gotten really very different very quickly, especially in the span of just, I guess, like a year, right? So now I want to switch gears. Well, actually not really switch gears too much. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, they'd be disgusted. Yeah, I think you're right, Jason. Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people who are older, I think some of them just kind of cashed out when they cashed out, because the world was changing in a way that maybe it wasn't just going to be energetically hospitable, you know, for them to be around. So a little bit more about this whole allopathy thing. And like I've said, I've done a bunch of shows on this. I also did a show that I referenced recently on a broadcast called The Star of Life, where I talked about that blue kind of six-pointed symbol that's on the back of ambulances. Of course, another symbol on the back of the ambulance is the caduceus. And some people think that that's a satanic symbol. Of course, well, that's not true. It is a symbol for us, for our people. The shishuma is the staff in the middle, kind of representing like the spinal column and the chakras. Then you have the wings on both sides, and you have, you know, the serpent energy. Of course, that is the serpent energy from the kundalini, you know, rising up from the base of the spine up to the top of the head, to the crown. And then you have the ingala and the ingala, how do you say that one again? Pingala and the ingala. Okay, I'm not getting 100% right, but anyway, you get the gist. Those two other things that move up, like the you know, the little spiraling things, that one on the left, one on the right, going up the caduceus. So this article gets some of it right. Unfortunately, just like with other stuff, you'll find this XDNity, like crud, like kind of stuffed into this, just like that article I read about, you know, allopathy supposedly being a satanic cult. Of course, we know that's not true. It's a Talmudic cult, but they'll throw those things in there, not necessarily knowing or being conscious of it. So they try to make, in this article, make it look like the caduceus is a negative symbol, because in the Bible, you know, the snake and Eve and the apple, of course, I think most of us here know better than that. But there are some interesting aspects of this article that I did find worthwhile. And it's a continuum of what Dr. Robert Mendelsohn was saying about what the Zog system, shitstem, does to women's bodies, with the hysterectomies, the mastectomy, all of this type of stuff. They don't really do that nearly as much to male bodies. They do it more to females. Actually, the female body. When I said female bodies or male body, that sounded like something like a tranny would say. I didn't mean that. The part about the female being beaten to death, and this comes from a Greek myth with the god Hermes, saying that two serpents were representing evil, and then there was a Greek myth about a woman being beaten to death. I don't know if that's a Zog thing that's been inserted. Who knows? It's hard to tell. You never know like what they could have inserted with that. We do know that they do loathe women, obviously, and they act like women. It's kind of very weird. So I'm not really too well versed in this Greek myth that has to do with Hermes, whose symbol is the caduceus. I think sometimes like he's represented with that. But like I said, I'm not too familiar with that piece. And I know that the Zog aspect of the Bible obviously is making it look like the serpent is bad. So on to this little bit about how modern day Western medicine represents women. So of course, they're saying it's a male dominated Western medical system. I think it's more of like a, just like an oy vey, like inversion of that. And if it's male dominated, it's the worst aspects of that. It's like an inversion of any type of real masculinity. Well, one of the reasons it also is male dominated is because all of the research is usually done on men, not on women. So that's another reason too. But I consider it more to be kind of like Talmudically driven than male dominated, like the idea that there's a war on viruses, you know, there's a war on cancer. I don't see that as male dominated. I see that as like the Talmudic version of like wanting to go after something and annihilate it, you know, and not make peace with the body. So when I see words like male dominated or Western, I just know it's, you know, slang for Zog, essentially. So Zog sees virtually all female physiology to be a disease, pregnancy, menstruation, etc. Women are treated like animals in many ways. Well, that's what they do, right? We're all animals to them. Though endless breast cancer screening and mandatory HPV vaccines, of course, vaccines are a hoax and a waste of time. That HPV vaccine is definitely a hoax, definitely something that you, yeah, I remember when that they were first getting that thing that came out, the vaccine for that. And I remember like people getting it and I'm thinking like, wow, for what, right? Female organs are considered to be useless or disease ridden, such as when hysterectomies are performed to remove women's, quote, hysteria or madness. And I did a whole show about hysteria back in the day. This was considered to be a legitimate disease back in the day, where a woman would have, quote, hysteria, and she would go into the doctor's office and the doctor would pull out this like humongous vibrator and use it on the woman until she had an orgasm. And then her hysteria was like cured, or she'd come back for another treatment. That's how like they first used vibrators, believe it or not. It's an interesting show. If you go back in the archives, you can find that show. So that's where the name hysterectomy actually comes from, hysteria. So basically assuming that someone is insane, and because they're insane or possessed, like that first article about medicine being a cult talks about, they have to have their reproductive organs removed. Makes sound sense, right? Obviously, this sounds like a Talmudic religion. It's so obvious. I mean, it's just, oh God, it's so creepy. It's so fucking creepy when you realize all this type of stuff. And they're saying that once these impressionable young doctors will graduate from the medical schools, they are given the tools of death to, quote, treat patients. Chemotherapy, poisons, toxic pharmaceuticals, scalpels, and radiation machines. They slice off women's breasts and call it cancer prevention. They poison children's brains with chemicals and call it medicine. They damage and destroy key organs like the heart, the liver, the kidneys, and the brain through the forced application of toxic chemotherapy agents, sometimes at gunpoint. Wow. I mean, it's so crazy that you could think you were curing something by either, you know, cutting off a part of someone's body or injecting with chemicals. I mean, this is the biggest religion. It is. And the thing that really makes it so crazy is that, you know, at least you can, in all fairness, you could say Christianity's been around for about 2,000 years. So there's been plenty of time for people to be brain poisoned by that pogrom. But this allopathic crud, this is like less than 200 years old. But there's so much fear and there's so much lack of knowledge and personal knowledge and intuition that they're able to run with this, right? And plus, think of all the Talmud Vision shows you probably just grew up watching like I did, and all of this allopathic crud was just completely immersed and enmeshed in those shows, right? Just like all the movies you saw. I mean, that's just, they've been pulling this off for a very long time with, you know, layer upon layer of this propaganda. Okay, let's see. Jason is saying a lot of these brainwashed people don't even realize that the symbols of our people's race and culture have been bastardized or twisted. No, they don't know. Like even people sometimes who will look at the six-pointed star with the Oy Vey's use, what they call the Star of David or the Seal of Solomon, that's our symbol. That's the Anahata. That's the Shakti and the Shiva coming together, the sacred male and the sacred female energy. That's ours. That's not theirs. I always remember like looking at that symbol thinking like, is that theirs? You know, like it's too pretty to be theirs. You know, like it actually looks good. Like, yeah, the menorah, or what I call the manure, like that's obviously theirs. It's gross, right? But like there's something always about that six-pointed star. I'm like, it's too pretty to be theirs. Thomas Oakes is saying the Star of Vishnu. Yeah. And it's yeah, there it is. There it is. Star of David is from India, which originally from white people. Yeah, I have a pretty interesting picture on my Twitter. I have it pinned, and it's a building in India, and it has six-pointed stars alternating with swastikas. You know, and like, I mean, there you go. I mean, it's right there. I mean, I guess maybe they could have taken that for their sign. Imagine if they had taken the swastika for their sign, they had co-opted the swastika, and Hitler had used like a red and white stars, you know, six-pointed star for the NSDAP. Imagine that, how crazy that would be. Wow. Imagine in one day if that flip happened, how it would confuse so many people in the world. That'd be funny. I believe it represents unity or completion. Yeah, I think it does. It's a cool symbol. I mean, fuck it, it's not theirs. You know, they may be like think they borrowed it, but it's not theirs. And for many like hundreds of years, the menorah or the manure was what they used. You can see it like in some stone carvings and things like that. I think their usage of the six-pointed star is what last 500 years or so. It's not as ancient as you would think. Thomas Oakes is saying, imagine an EU flag with all the stars point down and a fat Swazi in the middle. Well, that'd be great. Yeah. They're blue and yellow. It's red, and red, white, and black. Yeah, we should swastika-ize every flag in the world. Just give it like the Swazi treatment, you know, and that'd be fun. So yeah, a little bit there from that article that I was just reading about what Zog does to females, what they do to women, you know, the ones in our society that are the ones that are going to hold, you know, basically literally hold in their bodies like the next generation. Of course, Zog wants to make all of that a pogrom. They want to keep everyone from mating, dating, reproducing, all of this type of stuff. They want to keep people from even calling each other. Things have gotten that bad. But they'll do anything. They're desperate at this point. It's obvious by this agenda that they're doing it. That's why I think when we talked about yesterday on the show, I think they're going to try to take a couple of steps backwards to make it look more like, you know, normal, for lack of a better word. It's not really normal, but I think they're going to try to, for the normies out there, instill some type of something of things are getting back to normal, even though we know that that's a bunch of Zogwash. So now I wanted to read something else, which totally works into everything I've been talking about so far with this show about allopathy and religion. I wanted to talk a little bit about just this whole pogrom, not, you know, dissecting all the crud that we already know. Like, I've spent a year already, at least once per week, if not more, talking about this. But I want to talk about basically a cheat sheet of medical hoaxing, as well as what's to come, like how we can protect ourselves, especially if you have children in the public fooling system, and also some skills or just some tips, just, you know, going on in the future, thinking about how to be resourceful, skillful, self-sufficient, all these things that would be great, even so with everything happening in the world. But more so because of all these things that are happening. So here we go. It's a little piece I found surfing the web called Thriving and Surviving in the 2020s. So we are, I guess we got 1 year under our belt, 1 year and 3 months thus far. We still got 8 years, 9 months left, right? So let's see how we'll spend those. The medical schools and medical institutions were all bought out 100 years ago. And this is great stuff to tell other people to, like, you don't have to use the language that makes them recoil. But then again, I mean, do you really want to waste your time talking to someone who's just going to call you foul words? Maybe not, right? So pick and choose who you speak to. But regardless, this is a great cheat sheet. So the medical schools and the medical institutions were all bought out 100 years ago. That's very important to know. They have systematically been teaching everything false about germs and dis-ease to their students of medicine. Cancer industry fake tests, fraudulent treatments, and hoax info. Antifungus mold treatments have been deleted, marked as poison in the medical books. For example, turpentine and all associated concoctions. So they mark all these as poison. I've never tried turpentine before for stuff like that. But I know people who have. Of course, you know, I'm not a doctor and I'm not suggesting anybody do that. But remember, whenever they tell you that something is terrible, bad, awful, like they do with things like butter, we have to ask ourselves, like, where's that coming from? Or like they do when they try to promote something as like amazing, like fish oil, we have to ask ourselves, where is that coming from? The HIV AIDS industry, the fake tests, the fraudulent treatments, everything, quote, viral is a fake fraud hoax. That's an obvious. Every vaccination theory is a fake fraud hoax. Every germ-causing dis-ease theory is a fake fraud hoax. This is how allopathy runs. It runs on viruses, vaccination, and germs, right? And also the whole idea that they've been promoting since the 60s of genetic dis-ease. They've been promoting genetic dis-ease. It's a thing they've been, you know, hoaxing out since the 60s. That basically means that someone is generationally malnourished and they're telling you it's, quote, genetic. So they're saying that the real risks are things like parasites, constipation, electromagnetic radiation, poverty, malnutrition, fatigue, drug, vaccinations, and medical profession scam treatment. So it's not all about germs. The other things are more important that I just mentioned. Their dietary regime, malnutrition, food pyramid is totally false with a food plate. We humans are deprived of immense health until... No, we humans are deprived of immense health... Deprived of immense health, and we could live to 120 years on average. I've even heard 150 by some accounts. We humans are deprived of 20 to 40 plus IQ points, and it's not even realized. I've heard the IQ has gone down 13 points since Victorian times. I'm assuming it's higher than that, but that's what I've heard. Fertility rates are the lowest in recorded history. So that's a little bit right over there about all this. Like, I mean, there's this, the whole idea that they're calling this a virus, that should have been like the first tip off to anyone that it was fake as shit, because it was, it always has been, it always will be. It's a hollow hoax. Oid AI is the hollow hoax of, this era, this time. So that's a little bit about just how the scam works. They've been scamming us for 100 years. Allopathy is built around fear. It's a fear-based religion based on viruses, vaccinations, germs. It's a hoax. Just that's the way it is. And look, they recommend a diet that's going to make you sick anyway. I mean, can you honestly believe like anything they're saying? No. And of course, like, I'm not, trash talking, you know, emergency care and bone setting and things like that, you know, life-saving surgeries. But I'm talking about the disease management model, and I'm also talking about the idea of the virus as a boogeyman. That is the religious aspect. That's what we're talking about here, just to clarify if anyone's unsure. So now a little bit about Oid AI and how this is working. I'm not talking about it from a virological perspective. I'm talking about it from more of a societal perspective. So this was brought on by the Jew World Order, the JWO, by Zog, technocrats, the World Economic Forum, depopulationists, dysgenicists, money masters, central bankers, the UN, the WHO, puppet governments, change agents, etc. The purpose of this, global financial reset with total monetary control via the blockchain technology, bringing on total slavery, surveillance, and mass employment and mass poverty. Further depopulation via forced vaccination, false health protocols, travel restrictions, social restrictions, and virus fears. Technocracy tyranny worse than Orwell's 1984. So what are the challenges for people, especially for children and things like that, especially people who are young? This is very important. Old style schools are rendered obsolete. They are a waste of time, money, and energy. Old mating and reproductive opportunities are stymied, and the WEF chairman gloating at the prospect of further depopulation. Avoid forced vaccinations, infertility, death, poverty, and slavery. Avoid 5G, mitigate against it. Avoid techno brainwashing dangers. It used to be the TV and MSM. Now it's the Juggle, the Facebook, and the YouTube. So don't think just because you cut the cord on the Talmud vision that you're immune. You could still be taking in all of, literal Talmud vision via the applications, you know, YouTube, Facebook, Instagroid, Twitter, Talmudgram, all of this can function as Talmud vision at a certain point, depending on how much you're taking in and what you're taking in. And of course, if you're going to be searching on Juggle and you're not using your air infiltration system, you're bound to come across a lot of crud as well. Actions to take. Educate ourselves about the dangers and the opportunities in this technocratic society, or what I like to call techno-Talmudicism. New style, real education to make money, gather resources to thrive in the new abnormal. And of course, we can thrive outside of the new abnormal. New socialization strategies to find non-zombie, non-brainwashed mates. Educate your children, yourselves. Mentor them personally on health, money, life, and new opportunities. Their teenage years and 20s must be made healthy, fruitful, reproductive, enjoyable, and wealthy. So yeah, a little type of cheat sheet right there, full of great stuff. If people can just see through this Zog miasma, that this whole thing was a bunch of crud, as opposed to trying to dissect it and getting diverted with all the snares that they put out there, that would be being ahead of the game and not even taking in too many things about finding out who got fucked over with the vaccination. People are getting fucked over left and right with this thing, and that's just going to be a casualty of what's happening. But I would invest my time looking at more stuff than that, because it's going to be SSDD, same shit, different day, right? So after a while, what are you doing? What are you keeping up with? What's your fear of missing out, right? Are you missing out on the general mill of what shit you're going to see? That's pretty much what it becomes after a while. So now let's chat a little bit about some good things, some good skills to possibly have as we move forward in this world. Let me just take a sip. Okay, I would like to add some specific concrete action steps, especially for those now living in the NWO USSA, the New World Order, United Socialist States of America. Number one, become self-employed. Those who are dependent on wage slaves will be forced by their employer masters to be vaccinated against their will. The government will say you have a choice, and your employer will say you may choose to not have the vaccine. If you want to keep your job, you must have it. So, like other mortals that need money to pay rent, to buy food, clothing, anything at all, you will do whatever your master says to keep your slave job. The sooner you get rid of your master, the sooner you become the master of yourself and free to make your own choices. Number two, start bartering. Find like-minded people with the same beliefs that you can barter with. The more you're bartering, the more you barter and swap goods, the less you are dependent on the money system and wage slavery. If you live outside the system, you won't need the forced vaccination. This will be especially important if you choose to implement step one to have less income than you used to. Okay, let's see. One second. Number three, learn hand-on skills like plumbing and carpentry, sewing, cooking, gardening, anything useful with your hands. This will also put you outside of the wage slave shitstem because you won't have to hire someone to do these things for you. There are also useful skills that you can barter with. Step two, you're never free when you are dependent on others. So learn to do things yourself that you can create, fix things for barter, and live free outside the JWO. Number four, be frugal. This is another part of being able to live outside the money system, the shitstem, and therefore outside of the medical techno dictatorship of the JWO. Save however you can so that you don't need to sell yourself to be an employer master. Number five, be a gypsy. The implementation of the medical techno dictatorship is dependent on people remaining in one place and being tracked and supporting the dictatorship with the tax money. If you are able to do so, the best way to live is to live in a van. Well, I don't know if I'd agree with that because you want to be able to have certain things at a certain homestead, but I'll go on. This will take you very far out of the dictatorship money system as you will not be paying any property taxes to fund the dictatorship. Your only, quote, rent and upkeep charges will be gas and maintenance on your vehicle. No taxes or bills just for existing. Well, those things are true, and those are pros for sure, but when it comes to kind of having like a homestead place, that really doesn't jive with the van life. I have seen some people on Talmudgram doing like the van life type of thing and promoting it kind of like, I guess, as a form of eco-nationalism. I guess I can see kind of an overlap with that, but anyway. Number six, learn dumpster diving. Free cycling is not dependent on money and keeps you outside the JWO system. This is a specific skill to be learned as there are tricks and tips to it. Number seven, hunting, fishing, and foraging. Learn to hunt wild game and fish and forage wild edibles. Every continent has edible food that is free. Take some, but leave some behind so that the plants can continue to provide for you and for others in the future. If you want to hunt legally, that usually requires a permanent residence for getting a hunting license. Same for buying a gun and getting the permit required for that. This is the education we all should have gotten in school, but we didn't. You are never free when you are dependent on someone else for something. Do everything yourself, make it yourself, fix it yourself, grow it yourself, harvest it yourself. If you can do it for yourself, you will not need money and a master to pay you. And yeah, that's what it all comes down to. Of course, this takes a bit of work and energy and responsibility, and some people just don't have those things. They don't want to have those things. So, well, I don't know. I mean, at a certain point, you have to have the responsibility to kind of be able to uplift yourself out of the JWO if that's what you want. Otherwise, you know, maybe just waiting in line at a Starbucks is kind of the reality that you want. Who knows? Jason is saying, I don't think this is going to be 5 to 10 years. I think sooner they will really be ramping up the agenda. I could be wrong, though. I think we're going to see gradual but significant changes as this decade progresses, but I don't think they want a massively chaotic situation to kind of instill. Like, I've been thinking even about this whole thing with the cop, with the Floyd case. Like, they'll want to do a controlled demolition of the system, shitstem, if they have to. But, I mean, they can paint it however they want to. So if this cop gets off, I mean, are they going to make it seem like there's riots everywhere? Or are they just going to use it as an opportunity just to kind of sob more, like in a Hala hoax type of style, and just use it as an excuse to promote more of the black marketing crud? Like, they could just take it and spin it that way, as opposed to having like to chimp out and stuff like that. They could just spin all of that energy into like more of black crap 24/7, you know, like when you see all this stuff you've seen. I've also noticed too with that stuff, like all of this black stuff has kind of infiltrated like all these pro-white movements. Like, I really never thought about any of this stuff beforehand, unless when I was involved in hip hop, but I was thinking about the music. I wasn't thinking about, like, you know, the idiosyncrasies of like blacks or anything like that. I was just, you know, engaged in the music. But now it's like they've thrust blacks and us being annoyed at their, you know, the things that they do into like these pro-white spheres, you know? So like that's creating a consciousness unto itself. Jason is saying, I just don't see people who know about the JQ and other things going to be living normally anymore. A lot of so-called white nationalists or pro-white pushing rap or other things, disgusting. Well, I mean, I think a lot of people who call themselves something like that, it may just be what they call themselves. It may not actually be who they are. Maybe it's who they want to be, but it's not actually who they are. So there could be some of that going on, or they might just be so like down to the core Jewish because they grew up in such a Jewish society that they don't even know that their behavior is coming off as like Jewy. There's that too. Like, I think there's a lot of that going on. People actually just realize they grew up in so much of this Zog Jewy culture that they don't even really realize like the things that they do are actually just incredibly Jewy. So, yeah. So I also wanted to mention on today's broadcast that yesterday was George Lincoln Rockwell's birthday, actually. He would have been, well, pretty old, 103 years old. But yeah, he was born on March 9th, 1918, member of the Greatest Generation. And he was one of the first people who I was listening to when I was getting into this type of material. I remember listening to a lot of the stuff that he did. I always enjoyed seeing him smoke his pipe, you know, and be asked questions and stuff. I thought it was pretty entertaining, and I thought he was a good speaker as well. So I'm just going to play a little clip that I can find, just something short. I'm surprised there's actually still Rockwell clips up on YouTube, to be honest. Yeah, let's see. I'm just going to play something small. I hope it's a good clip. I haven't played it, so let's just hope that this is like a really good clip. This is from 1966. He's being interviewed April 1966 at Northern Illinois University. Okay. Here we go.
Mr. Rockwell, there are an awful lot of people out there who seem to be laughing and jeering, and there seem to be about twice as many people as the hall will hold. Do you find this true wherever you speak?
I always draw usually the biggest crowds they've ever had, and usually the very people that shout prejudice the loudest against me prejudge my speech by jeering and shouting before they've given me a chance to be heard. There are a number of people out there with yellow armbands with a Jewish star.
This is common. This is usual, too.
Oh, do you have any trouble from these people?
It depends on the caliber of the university. The university usually doesn't tolerate disorder at an academic speech.
Mr. Rockwell, how many people do you have now in the American Nazi Party?
We have about 1,100 members, about 500 stormtroopers.
And what is your platform?
I ran for governor last month in Virginia, and the main thing that we are fighting for is the preservation of the white race. We think the white race is what has made possible the American Constitutional Republic, which we think is the greatest form of government in the world.
What do you think about the present policies the administration is having in regard to the colored people?
Well, I think it's insane. I think that the policy has brought on chaos and almost revolution in this country, and instead of putting on the brakes, we're adding more of what caused the trouble in the first place.
Now, if we want white supremacy, what will we do with all the colored people in this country? Will we take them to another country?
Let me say this. In the Congo, they have black supremacy. There's no question about it. A white person, it doesn't hold office. They wouldn't tolerate a white president. This country is a white country, and it has the right to remain white. We don't believe that the colored people should be pushed around, but they certainly should stop pushing the white people around.
You consider the Jewish people members of the white race?
Yes, I do, of course.
Do you have any platform against them as Hitler did?
Not all of them. Against those of them who are mixed up with communism or who are trying to subvert the United States for the purposes of Zionism and Israel, I have something against them.
What will be the topic of your talk tonight?
Mainly the fact that the fact that communism and race mixing are Jewish operations are suppressed in the press. You can't get that information out.
You're on the press right now, sir. Do you feel that?
I've been on thousands of television interviews just like this that are on film. This isn't live, is it?
No.
Well, this is what usually happens. That part gets taken out. If it's put on here, it'll be very unusual.
Thank you very much.
There we are. I didn't actually hear that one before, and I just caught that thing about him saying that he believes that Oy Veys were white. I didn't know that he held that view. Okay. Well, that was that. Maybe it was for optics, is what Thomas Oakes is saying. Who knows? But anyway, he was a good speaker. He was a Pisces, and he was masculine, and he helped me wake up to a lot of the things that are going on in the world. I kind of always enjoyed the way he spoke, that it was kind of like humorous in a lot of ways, actually. And like I said, I like the pipe as well. So yeah, I just wanted to play that little clip right there and just acknowledge him. Like I said, surprise, that is still on the YouTube, albeit the comments are turned off. So maybe that is why they turn off comments from videos like that. It doesn't look like it has any likes at all, only like 31,000 views. It's been on for, what, 3 years or something? I guess it's actually kind of a lot of views, but. So let's see if I have any other notes that I wanted to discuss for this show. Pretty much covered a lot about allopathy, about this cruddy hoax, this religion, this absolute religion that some people just still cannot see through for whatever reason. I guess it's that savior mentality goes very deep, very, very, very deep. People always looking for somebody else to be saving them. I mean, wow, what a weird thing, right? Looking for someone else to save you. I mean, it doesn't really make sense when you just kind of lay back and think about it. But this is what all these religions are essentially based on. It's basically you relinquishing your responsibility so someone else can, quote, save you, right? Look at the consequences of that. It's not pretty. It's not pretty for the people who want it, and it's not pretty for the people who are around the people who want it. So yeah, I think that's all I have to say for this broadcast right here, this Wednesday, March 10th. I think I'll close out the show. I got about 16 minutes left right here, but I think I'll close it out. I think I'm feeling a little like I want to have a snack. So, well, thank you, OG. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thank you, Jason. So yeah, as usual, be sure to catch all the great broadcasts over here at the American National Radio Network. I am Tabitha. This is your host for White Wellness. Hope everyone has an amazing day wherever they are in this white world. Okay, Sat Nam. Goodbye, everybody.